Let's start having some fun with this. Just to remind everyone to smile. Did we?
A little bit.
Yeah.
I mean, we know it didn't go into deep, but we saw
yes.
Larry touched on it.
Larry's charged at it.
Oh, really? Okay.
Barely.
Okay. So who knows eye accessing cues really well? Who has it down? Come on. You learned this already, right? Okay. Okay. So it's really important to know your eye accessing cues in order to do strategies. So it's a good way to open up strategies. So at least you're familiar with it, and then we're gonna cover it again, and then it's gonna lead into how the strategies work, okay? All right, so let's have two people come up. Who wants to come up? Lance, Gary. And just, yeah, stand right here, and Lance, why don't you stand right there and just face everyone? Okay, so what you're looking for are where their eyes move, right? Okay. Now that everybody's watching you, you might feel a desire to not move your eyes. This sort of has to happen no matter what. But anyway, so for the sake of the presentation, the demonstration of this, just, you know, relax and let it go. So think of what your best friend's smile looks like. Okay. And which I saw Gary's, I couldn't see Lance's. It's straight ahead?
Yeah.
And then Gary's I saw went up and to the left. Okay.
All right.
Yeah. Gary, you mind taking your glasses off?
No. Oh.
All right, so if you're, think of two friends, and if they morphed into each other and became one person, what would they look like? That's confusion.
Yeah.
That's okay, let's see. Let's try something else. Let's think of what your best friend's voice sounds like. Okay, I saw Lance looked up and then side to side. And then Gary's I didn't catch. Straightforward?
A little bit.
Okay. All right, so let's try this. Think of what it would be like to stand on the beach with the sand under your feet, feeling the sand under your feet. Okay. Down to the right. Okay. And then think of something you say to yourself. What do you say to yourself when you see something you like? Lance, I saw, definitely went down to the left. I didn't see Gary's eyes move. Gary's broken. Is that working? Okay. That's not nice. Okay.
Okay.
We'll fix that.
I had to think of something I'd tell on myself. Like, I wasn't actually telling myself that. I was actually thinking about, you know, my accessing memories. So it went down to the left for sure. Like, I wasn't actually doing, like, thinking of something I was telling myself, which I feel like I go up to the right, but just thinking about what I was saying to myself, I feel like go down the left to even access that.
Okay. So, as soon as you hear me say what I'm saying, say it to yourself. So you notice also what he was doing. He was mouthing it, which is kind of kinesthetic, but he was looking straight ahead. And then he went down into his left, and he was checking it. That's when he checked it to hear it. Okay, I know, Gary, you're a musician, right? Okay. So Gary might have what we call synesthesias, which we'll explore in a little bit. And synesthesias being that it could be attached to, he can look straight ahead and then access hearing, which you're probably, because of your training, because you've trained your ears to hear certain things, you can look in different directions and access different pictures and at the same time hear.
There's a visual aspect.
Yeah, mm. Yeah. Okay. All right, thank you both, and have a seat. Okay. So in general, when a person is looking up and to their left, it's visual remembered. And one way you can remember that is your left brain is that part of you that is more data-driven, more process-driven, more like a computer. And the right side of your brain, just visual construct, is more the creative side of your brain. So you're constructing. So the question I asked them was a little bit too weird. So their eyes kind of went all around when I asked them to visually construct. But if you thought about the American flag and the colors of purple, green, and blue, if you imagine that right now, notice where your eyes go, up and to the right. Yeah. So you're constructing an image. You've probably never seen the American flag in those colors, so you have to construct that. Auditory, remembered, is normally looking to your left ear. Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah. I'll just pretend it's upside down with a cross through it. All right, and then auditory construct is looking to the right ear. Feelings are typically down into your right, so that's K, and it's just K, there's no remembered or created. And then typically when we're talking to ourselves, it's called auditory digital. Now, when you're looking at this, you might think, how did anyone ever come up with this or realize this? And at the same time, you might think, how did we ever miss this after like 50,000 years of civilization? How this all came about was, and this story is a little controversial because it is disputed by some people, but there was a man named Robert Diltz, and he was a student of John Grinder. And John Grinder was one of the founders of NLP, and he was a professor at UCSC. And he was known for doing things in very unconventional ways. And so he challenged his students for a grade if they could go and take something that happens in everyday life that people just kind of take for granted and to code it and give it a name. And Robert didn't understand exactly what the assignment was. So after class, he went up to John Grinder and said, I don't really understand this. And he said, well, what is that you just did? John said that to Robert, and Robert said, I don't know what you're talking about. And he said, that right there, you just looked up and to the right. And he said, why don't you go find out what that's about? And so Robert went out and started testing it, and eventually he came up with this diagram, or not the diagram, but the understanding of what you're accessing in your neurology as your eyes are moving around. Now, you might notice that when you're talking to people, they're not exactly following this. That happens, and that's where the synesthesias come in, or you can still access, somebody who's very visual can look straight ahead and access other parts. They can access pictures straight ahead, and a lot of times they can access their feelings from the pictures. You'll find people who can do other ways of that, but in general, this is the way that it works. In general, that's your standard to work from, and then but you will find variation, so this is not like how it is and how it always is. And then you'll find other variations for, like, if I asked all of you to think of a baseball, you might not think of a baseball that you've already seen, but you've already seen a baseball, but instead you construct it, so you look up into your right. Does that make sense? Okay, so if you thought about a baseball that you have seen that's sitting on your dresser, you're going to look up into your left. But if you just think of a baseball, you're probably going to construct it. And the same thing can happen with sounds. And so we're going to practice this. And there are questions, and this you'll find on page, is it 83? Okay. Yeah, and there are questions in here. So you want to ask these questions, and so you might get some of these variations. And so if they look in a different direction than what you're expecting them to based on the question, go ahead and ask them. Say, well, you know, what was that you heard, or what was that you felt? Or what was that you saw? Were you constructing that, or was that a remembered image? Does that make sense? Okay. And somebody said? Oh.
What about looking down?
looking down to your right or to your left? Straight down? It could be a number of things. So what I notice a lot of people do, including myself, is I'm checking my feelings and then I'm talking to myself at the same time, and I'm bouncing that back and forth. So sometimes I'll look back and forth, and then sometimes I'll settle here because I can access both at the same time like that. So sometimes it's that. And if you ever are unsure, just ask somebody, you know, what are they thinking about something? Are they hearing their own voice? Are they, you know, what are they feeling? But sometimes, and you'll notice this too, with very visual people, they will create, if they're associated, they will create the images around them. So if you say, what did you have for dinner? They might go like this, because they're going to see dinner in front of them. Okay, so it doesn't mean they're accessing the feeling. They could be seeing the image of where dinner was whenever they were eating it, or just before they ate it. Does that make sense? Okay. So, and you'll see that a lot of times that visual people will, if they're very associated, they will look around them and see the images as if they're actually there. And so, and this comes with your sensory acuity. The more you watch people, the more you'll be able to see if their eyes are dead straight, they usually are seeing a still image. And if they're watching a movie, you're going to see their eyes kind of shift like this. And if they're fully associated, they just have a look of being right there, grounded in their body, in the place that they're at. If their eyes are defocused, they tend to be inside of themselves. And they can be seeing pictures, but they could also be feeling feelings or talking to themselves. If the eyes are really defocused, you can get a little bit of that. I think Gary had that a few times. You kind of defocused. You were accessing whatever it was I was asking you, but your eyes defocused as if you were inside yourself, could be seeing images or hearing or feeling things. Maybe you don't know. Yeah. Sometimes people defocus because, and he closed his eyes a few times. Sometimes people will defocus or close their eyes because to access a feeling or a sound, there's too much going on. The visual image around them is too much. It's too much information. So they close their eyes. And this will happen sometimes. You'll ask people some of these questions. You'll see their eyes closed, and you're like, okay, how do I check their accessing? If you look really close, and if you're close enough to the person, you can see their eyes moving underneath the eyelids. So look for that. And not all the time can you see it. So if that does happen, and you're in a situation where they're not going to think you're weird for asking, go ahead and just ask them. Well, were you seeing a picture, or were you feeling a feeling? Were you hearing something when your eyes were closed? You know, what were you thinking about? Okay. All right. Ready to practice this? So we're going to practice in groups of three. And so you're going to have one person asking the questions, one person who's you're going to be watching. And then you're going to have another person watching from, like, as a meta person. Now, the person who's asking the questions, what you want to do, so you don't miss anything, because sometimes people are very quick. Their eyes move very quick. And then if you're looking down at your book, by the time you look up, the accessing cue's already happened. Okay, so what you want to do is, so the first question under visual constructed is, what would an orange hippo with purple spots look like? So instead of reading it straight from the book, look down, read the sentence, have it memorized, then look up and ask the question. That way you won't miss it. It's page 83. On page 83, looks like this, and you have the questions in each one. So groups of three, one person's asking the questions, one person is the subject, and then one person is also watching. And then compare notes. What did you see? Compare notes with the person who's not asking the question about what you saw. And again, sometimes it's really fast, so you really want to watch closely. It might just be a quick, up and down, and then they're back up here. So you want to catch that. All right? Yeah.
How much time per person?
It doesn't take long, maybe 5 to 7 minutes per person. Probably not even that much. Okay. Anybody have any questions? So you're going to go through those questions. Feel free to change some of the questions if you want to. When you're asking, visual questions, make sure you're asking them questions that they'll have to bring up a picture to see it. You know, what does your best friend look like? What color is are your mother's eyes? Something like that. When it comes to feeling, it can be an emotion feeling or it can be a tactile feeling. Either one should evoke that response of looking down into your right. So you can say, what do you think the temperature is like, or what do you think the weather is like in Siberia right now? And you can get that accessing there for that. You can say, what does it feel like when you're really, really happy. And that should be the same thing. What you'll also see, and we'll talk a little bit more about this in the discussion, that people kind of sometimes have a lead system and a process system. So you might see the person look up for a picture, and then they'll look down. So they might need the picture to know what they're going to look at or what they need to get the feeling from, and then they have to look down to get the feeling. Or this might happen too. You'll ask them the question, they'll look down into their left and ask the question to themselves again, and then when they access it, they have to go to auditory or visual. So take, you know, look for these things. And so first time around, sometimes it confuses people because they see two or they see multiple eye movements. It's a lot of times, and this is where the strategies start to come in, but it's how they're processing your question to access what it is that they're retreating. Okay. Somebody had a question?
Between the lead and the process systems, is one of them also known as the driver? The driving?
I've never heard it referred to as a driver. I think of more of lead and process. So you access a representational system to find out what it is the person's asking you. And in order to actually process what they're asking you, it can shift to a different representational system. Not always does it happen. Very visual people, their lead system is often picture, and then they're accessing whatever it is visually. So very kinesthetic people can do both. A lot of times they can, very kinesthetic people tend to go straight to their feelings, but I'm a little bit both. So if you ask me a question, I will normally see a picture and then either go down for the feeling, or if it's more of a technical question, I go down to my left to sort it out. Anybody have any questions? All right, let's do it.